Support for TortureCast is brought to you by Manscaped. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code TortureCast at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code TortureCast. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.
Hey, this is Evan Longoria of your San Francisco Giants, and you're listening to TortureCast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the three-time world champion, San Francisco Giants. Let's go, Giants! With hosts Chad King and Eric Nathanson. This is TortureCast.
It's Thursday, November 18th, 2021, and this is episode 244 of the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. We're coming to you live on Facebook like we do all season long. I'm your host, Chad King, and joining me today is Eric Nathanson. Man, how you doing?
I'm doing good. It's a happy birthday to you, Chad. Chad recently celebrated his 29th birthday, and it's quite an accomplishment. Yeah, right. 30's right around the corner, so make sure you take care of yourself. Things are going to change shortly, so if you start creaking and cracking, that's why.
I know. I wish. We were talking a little before the show how I was playing amateur ball for a while, but haven't played in like 7 years, and I can't play with people half my age now. So I think those days are long over unless I can find a 45 and over league, but so be it. Age progresses. We all do what we can to fight father time, and thanks for the happy birthday. Appreciate that, Eric. Had a good day yesterday. Went, had a massage, good lunch, and then went to Topgolf. I'd never checked that out before. So anyone who hasn't been to Topgolf and likes to swing the club or likes to have a couple beers or whatever, it's a lot of fun. A lot of high tech, too. You can see how far you hit the ball and velocity and spin rate and all sorts of video games you can play. It's pretty neat. So, but damn, is it pricey. It's ridiculous. But we're coming back to you for the first time in about 4 weeks or so. We did have a little Buster Posey news conference where I posted that his news conference in its entirety, just with like 30 seconds of my thoughts. But we haven't had a chance to really talk about it, which happened now 2 weeks ago. And we were hoping Willie would join us, but I think work got in the way for him today. And I wanted to give him an opportunity. But I mean, Eric, you know, this is something that I thought was interesting. I don't have the comment queued up right now, but I do recall at the end of the season, they were talking to him about Brandon Crawford coming back for 2 more years and if he was excited to play with him for another season. And his comments were not, yeah. It was like, well, no, it'd be great to play with him again. But, you know, I got to go home and talk with Kristen and we'll figure things out. Something to that effect. And it was like this little door, this little and it was like, I heard that, but I was kind of like, well, but that's Buster Posey. He plays things close to the vest and he just kind of covers all the bases. So I don't think he really means he might retire. Nope, that's exactly what he meant. He went home and talked about it with his family. And as he explained in his news conference, he said it was just time and he felt like he'd, you know, obviously done enough. But more importantly, he wanted to spend time with his family, the twins. He saw what it was like to be home during the baseball season when he took 2020 off. Yeah. So he's done this before. And I think that gave him a lot of perspective on what life is like without baseball. And then lastly, he cited the fact that every day he hurt, his body hurt. And, you know, other people during that news conference afterwards reported, oh yeah, Buster would spend like 2 hours in the gym just warming up and stretching before games. Like he had to do a lot more than maybe the average player. He definitely acquired the miles over the years. And he also doesn't want to be one of those guys, you know, they were joking, like he saw Bruce Bochy attempt to walk to and from the mound every night. And maybe he was like, as a former catcher, maybe I don't want to be doing that in my 50s and 60s. So unfortunately for Giants fans, he chose to retire. But fortunately for him and his family, it sounds like a good call. And he's going to have a great, you know, post-baseball life. So for me personally, you know, not devastated, but just really sad that that chapter in Giants baseball and lore is over. I thought it was a pretty good shot we'd have another year, maybe or two with him, but it's not meant to be. And I don't know, how did the news hit you?
Well, the last thing you said reminds me of why it hit us all. He's the last of 2010.
Yeah.
He's it. There's nobody left from the first one that we got to see. And I think that that's, part of why it hit a little hard. Sad is a good way to put it, because it's just sad that you're not going to get to see Buster as the catcher of the San Francisco Giants anymore. Something you were used to. It was like the sun rising in the morning. It literally was just something you became used to as a Giants fan over the last 12 or so, 13 or so years. And it's suddenly not going to be there anymore. And yeah, we got used to it last year with the shortened season, but it's going to be strange for us. And I think that that's really the shock of it that got to me and other Giants fans. And, you're right. The year off probably gave him that perspective and gave him the idea, okay, I have to go back out one last time and prove it to myself. I've gone through all these surgeries. I've done all this stuff. So I have to go back out and prove I can do it again one more time to myself. And he did that. He did that this year. He led a team to the best record in baseball. He was an integral part of that team. And I think he just kind of looked at it and said, I don't have anything left to prove. I've proven everything I need to. I've won 3 World Series. Mm-hmm. I've played with some of my best friends. So, being at home wasn't so bad. So maybe it's time for me to just kick back, relax, and not have my knees hurt, not have my hips hurt, not have a shoulder hurt, not have a random finger hurt, not have a bruise on the inside of my thigh for 2 weeks because I just keep getting hit in the same spot. He's not going to have to deal with. So, it's good for him. I think he's a Hall of Famer. I know that's going to be a huge debate in a few years. Some people think he's fringe, but I think he's a Hall of Famer. But I look at the world through orange colored glasses. So
yeah,
I was sad about it. And it was also one of those things that was surprising. But then when you step back for a second and think about it, not surprising at all. It really made a lot of sense.
I agree with that. I think it was shocking that it was like, whoa, what? And then you kind of went, well, there were signs and we kind of didn't pay attention to them or maybe didn't want to believe it. And it makes sense. It really does make sense. I mean, a lot of people are like, why the hell would he leave 20 million or 22 million on the table? Oh, he's fine. He's fine financially. He's clearly demonstrating that money is not the most important thing. He's got the Body Armor contract. They were bought out by Coca-Cola. I'm sure he got a nice chunk of change from that, way more than a 1-year contract with the Giants. So
stock
he's options. Fine. Yeah, he's absolutely fine. And again, I think taking 2020 off was the key to him, key to not only understanding what baseball life would be like or life would be like after baseball. And you touched upon it, but he also said he wanted to prove to himself that he could still play. It was like a lingering, nagging thing that he's like, I had really crappy 2019. I need to prove to myself I can still play this game. And he went out, and obviously with the measured playing time that was agreed to by Zaidi and Kapler and Buster, and he went out and played 2 out of 3 games and had an all-star season, an absolute bang-up season, hit .302, 18 bombs, right, the whole thing. I mean, and he was great defensively. He won the Silver Slugger Award, which we'll get to here. He was fantastic, and so he's like, okay, I proved it, and now I'm going to ride off in the sunset. And so – yeah, we'll have the Hall of Fame discussion at a later date. That's coming in 5 years. I think it's going to be interesting, though. I will say that for a lot of the national writers, like a Buster Olney or Peter Gammons or whatever, they've already made their statements. They've already said, "Oh, he's a Hall of Famer. I'm voting for him."
Oh wow.
There's other ones that have been like, kind of, well, we'll see. I think that the distance of time might prove to hurt him a little bit. I could be wrong about it because I think a lot of people are caught up in the pomp and circumstances and nostalgia right away. It's like, oh, Buster Posey's retiring. He's the greatest catcher of the 2010s and da-da-da-da-da, and he won 3 World Series. But I think after 5 years, they're going to look more at the numbers and go, well, he only had 158 home runs. He only played 12 seasons. He only, my argument to that would be like, okay, what if he played 20, 22 and 23 and he added another 30 home runs? Is that really changing your mind?
Right, like, they're counting that's stats.
And he doesn't win it. Let's say he doesn't win another World Series, right? He just pads his stats. He still hits 300, adds 30 home runs. oh, suddenly he's a Hall of Famer. Like, it's such a gray area. I don't see how that clicks him over. So to me, he's a Hall of Famer now or not. He's not going to be a Hall of Famer because he plays two more seasons.
Yeah, that's totally true. But you're right. It's going to be looked at in a vacuum when it gets looked back on by the writers 5 years from now, and the whole narrative that surrounded his career won't be there. But I mean, the fact that he was a cornerstone of a franchise for so long, I mean, watching him look, he didn't know where to look, what to do when they won the World Series in 2010. And he's looking he's at like, the dugout. He's looking back. He's running out to Wilson, looking at the dugout. It was one of those pure moments. Like, everybody talks about the Buster hugs. But that to me is like, and the Grand Slam was obviously, but that 2010 moment to me is one I'll never forget. Just the look on his face. And it was crazy. And we just kind of knew we had the catcher, and we didn't expect the next, you know, two championships. And that was probably mine. So what's absolutely your long lasting memory of Buster Posey? And then we'll move on to more Giants business.
Yeah. Really, to be honest, is those two. To me, it was just the sheer joy and he's a rookie, right? And he's like, oh my God, we won the World Series. What do I do, coach? I love that. I love how he turned and looked at the dugout like, well, I don't know what to do. And then he's like, okay, I'll go out and hug him. I'll hug out, you know, hug Brian Wilson. Obviously the Grand Slam was amazing because it was against Latos and he, you know, pompous guy, the comeback, the whole thing, you know. Those two definitely stand out in my mind. But I think overall, not just a specific moment, but what I'll get out of it is the fact that the dude, like, if you just looked at him at any given game and you didn't know the score and you didn't know if it was a playoff game or not, you'd have no idea if the Giants were winning or losing or how well, you know, how bad the game was or how good the game was. He just rarely showed any kind of emotion, either too elated or too angry or depressed. He just was even keel. This is business. Let's take care of this. Let's, you know, get this win. It didn't matter what the score was. He just always seemed to perform and do his job no matter what the circumstances were. And I think that's why he was such a professional catcher. They're all professional baseball players. But as we all know, some of them are, you know, you get your Carlos Correa, you know, like doing the time. I hate that stuff, by the way. I know it's like, let him play. But I honestly, like, over the top stuff just really bugs me. But, you know, he just was all business. Even the Grand Slam, you know, even stuff like that. You occasionally saw him like a walk-off against the Dodgers, right? He flipped his helmet while he's coming to home plate when everyone's going to crowd him. Little things like that. He'd show
his right arm in the air when he homered in Detroit in the World Series.
Yep, down the line. Mm-hmm.
I think he threw his helmet another time when he beat somebody in like an 18-inning game in a few years back. Obviously, a few years back at this point. It was exhausting. It was like the Reds or something. They went 18 innings or something like that, and he hit a home run. It was exhausted, Buster. That's what made, I think, that moment of them winning the World Series to me such a moment is the stoicism that you were talking about that Buster exhibited. And he probably had a great manager for that, Bruce Bochy. You know, he learned from somebody who was very similar in that respect. And that probably helped shape and define his career. And I'll bet you if he gets inducted, Bochy is probably the guy that does the induction speech.
Yeah, I would think so. All right, well, Buster Posey is officially retired, so the Giants, we'll have more discussions about this throughout the offseason about what the Giants' options are. Obviously, number one would be Joey Bart, and a backup could be Casale or someone else on the market. They're developing Patrick Bailey in the minors, who's got a hot start in the Arizona Fall League. So we'll talk about that throughout the season, but obviously those options are coming to the surface a little quicker than we originally thought. But we still thought Bart was going to be in the majors again this year anyway. So let's move on. We have not recorded since the World Series concluded. And thank you, Atlanta Braves. That's all I have to say. Thank you, Atlanta Braves. Not only did they beat the Dodgers, thankfully, and it was pretty interesting. We talked about it after the Giants season was over. We recognized that both teams were beat up pretty well. But even the national reporters were coming out going, yeah, that Giants series really took it all out of the Dodgers. And I'm not saying that's a silver lining. It's not. It sucks. We got beat by the Dodgers in the NLDS. It happens. But it came down to one hit, one play, one at bat, one, you know, one run. Could have gone either way. It is what it is. That's baseball. But, you know, the Dodgers threw everything they had at the Giants, including, you know, openers and Urias pitching every game and like Scherzer. Weird stuff like that. Yeah, Scherzer closing. I mean, it was definitely Dave Roberts reaching in every tool of the bag that he had just to barely beat the Giants. And they just, you know, they ran out of steam. You know, Scherzer had the dead arm and Justin Turner pulled his hammy. And obviously, you know, they were winded. Urias was not the same. He just had a dead ball and he was hammered by the Braves. And I loved to hear all the Dodger fans and even reporters, beat writers were like, well, it's because of all these injuries. And it's like, yeah, the Braves are pretty damn injured too, losing a few all-stars. I'm just going to say, and second, that's baseball. And third, you know, the Giants kind of beat them up. I mean, that's just what happens. That was Scherzer's dead arm and, you know, Urias was used a lot and, you know, that's the way they manage. So it wasn't like freak accidents or anything. But thank you, Atlanta Braves, for beating the Dodgers. And then, just personally, I did not want the Houston Astros to win. I know some people wanted Dusty to get a ring. I get that. I totally understand it. I love Dusty. But I still cannot stand behind those four players still being on that team winning a ring. I can't. And so I was very happy. Not that I'm a Braves fan, not at all. But it's one of those innocuous teams. I'm like, okay, you know, they haven't had one in a while. Doesn't bother me.
It's weird. It's weird that 95 was a while ago because the Braves were so good for so long. You know,
they won 12 straight divisions, right? And only won one World Series.
They beat what, six games over with Cleveland, David Justice.
Yeah, game, that's right. Cleveland. Yeah.
You know, the Braves, it's funny though, because they did all these things by trading for these guys at the deadline and putting together this outfield that I had no idea about. I had no idea the Braves had done all this stuff and it just kind of clicked at the right time for them. So, you know, kudos to them. Like you, I did not want to see Houston win. I did not watch any of the NLCS. I did not watch the Braves beat the Dodgers. The one time I tuned in, the Dodgers like hit a grand slam or some crap like that. And I'm like, all right, I'm done. I'm not doing this. I tuned back in and I did watch the World Series, but it was so memorable that I can't remember a damn thing right now. I really can't. And that's just kind of how it's going to go down. It's just one of those, like you said, okay, they haven't had one for a while. Good for them. Whatever. We'll move on to the next year. We'll always remember this as the year the Giants were the best team in baseball and had that epic fight with the Dodgers. Giants-Dodgers is what defined this season. So, you know, the Braves can do what they want to win a title, but, I mean, it just still won't be the main story that comes back out of it. So, I mean, it was a decent ending. I mean, they definitely were a better team than Houston. And, you know, I love Dusty. I do. But he chose to take the Houston job. That was his choice.
That was his choice. And look, he got rewarded. He got another, you know, year extension. So, I mean, Houston values him. And I admire him for coming into that situation, which was just a bag of shit lit on fire. And he knew it. So, like you said, he made that choice. And because he made that choice, I'm not going to feel sorry for him and go, well, he didn't get a ring. It's like, no, I do want him to get a ring. I don't want him to get a ring with the Astros. I just don't. It's just the way I feel. But I know a lot of Giants fans felt otherwise. They were rooting for him and pulling for him, and they didn't care about the other side of things. But I don't want any legitimacy being added to those guys who participated in that cheating scandal. And look, I know Ty Thomas, our good friend, who's a major Astros fan, you know, and other Astros fans have a problem with that. They think it's not that big of a deal. And they're like, well, every team does something and stealing signs. And it's like, you know what? No, it's like nothing that's been proven like this. This was a systematic, you know, regimen of cheating. And so, well, yeah, but it's been shown now that Jose Altuve refused to participate. They show him like shaking people off. And I'm like, I don't care. That's not proof. He also didn't out the team. Like, he didn't, like, talk about it. He let it happen as a veteran. So,
to be fair, this is kind of ball don't lie the last 3 years, though. I mean, the Astros go out and lose the weird World Series to the Nats where no home team wins. And then they get beat in the ALCS last year. And then the Astros lose in the World Series again. So ever since, you know, the cheating came out or the cheating at least was known about, they haven't been able to gain any traction. So maybe that's their curse now. Maybe they're going to keep getting to the dance or right next to the dance and not winning at all.
Yeah, so it's five straight. Maybe they will suffer. I mean, that's ridiculous. Pretty remarkable. It's very, you know, Braves-like or whatever from the 90s. Yeah. But, you know, again, if they had won it this year, then all of the Houston fans and their players are going to crow and go, see, we don't need to cheat to win. This is legit. Yeah. And it's like, no, I didn't.
I'd like to wait 20 years for that to happen for them to say, you know,
not a single player is on that team that participated in the 2017 team, then I'm like, okay, maybe I can move on, you know, because I'm not into punishing players that weren't a part of it. You know, they're just going for an opportunity to play baseball and it might be in Houston. That's fine. But anyway, those guys. But, you know, Correa looks like he'll probably be out of there. Well, we'll see. We'll see what Houston does. Altuve is still going to be there and you know, a couple of the other guys. But all right, let's talk about awards. The Giants obviously had some hardware to bring in. I mentioned earlier, Buster got his fifth Silver Slugger Award this year, which was not unexpected. And he also got his second, which is unusual, Comeback Player of the Year Award. Obviously, his first one was his MVP year in 2012 because he came back from that horrific injury with Scott Cousins. But well-deserved, obviously, on both ends. Brandon Crawford won his fourth Gold Glove, which, God, at this point, you'd think he'd racked up seven or something by now. But there's been a couple years where, like, you kind of your eyebrows rise. You're like, really, you didn't win it this year? Because, you know, it's based on voting. It's not based on metrics or highlight reels or whatever. It's just votes. And I still think sometimes the West Coast teams get a little of that East Coast bias issue because, you know, East Coast reporters and even baseball players are going to see the East Coast and Central teams more often in terms of highlights and regular replays. And they're just going to, it's just human psychology. You're going to see these certain players more often than others. And you're not going to see Brandon Crawford diving for a ball at 11:30, you know, midnight your time. That's just not going to happen. So
I think that's why Belt's never really been able to crack into the Gold Glove category over the years. Cause Belt's been pretty good at first base, but he doesn't stay healthy long enough. And B, he's just stuck in the way because it's late, man. I lived out east. It's late for these games. You know, people are tired. They watched a full baseball game already.
Yeah. You
know, they don't.
Yeah, no, I don't blame them. It's just that, and they're not going to wake up in the morning and watch 10 minutes of Giants highlights or the other West Coast teams. That's not how it works, you know? So Farhan Zaidi won General Manager of the Year. Again, not a surprise for not only the coaching staff. Well, Kapler put together coaching staff, but mostly it was Zaidi doing that hire and acquiring the multitude of diamonds in the rough that just contributed to this historic 107 win season. I mean, even he himself was blown away by 107 wins. That's just dumb. I mean, it's still hard to fathom that, Eric. I mean, 107 wins. That's just like for this team, you'd expect that from the Dodgers or, you know, even the Yankees, even though they haven't reached that mark in a few years. I don't know. It's still remarkable for a team that was predicted to be third or fourth in division, you know, and hit 75 wins, like
behind the D-backs.
Blow that out of the water.
Some people had them behind the D-backs. And you can totally get, though, Farhan's perspective of, I didn't expect 107 wins because, like, literally nobody
expected 90.
Right. Nobody on earth expects any team to win 107 games in a year. It just doesn't happen. That's
not even the best team. Yeah. You're
right. So you're not going into the season thinking 107 wins, best record in baseball. You're just thinking, okay, let's get to 100 and win our division. That's where your goal set is at. So like, you don't even fathom it. So to then kind of, I'm sure looking back, like me, you have those moments of like, holy crap, this team won 107 games this year. It's something else. It's something we got to see with this group of guys. It wasn't like some Barry Bonds laden team. It wasn't the Kane, Lincecum, Bumgarner teams. It was this team. You know, it was just kind of like, how? And so they're totally going to be, we're always going to be shaking our head at like, it's just amazing that they did that this year.
Yeah. Yeah. Mike Dowling, one of our listeners, said he predicted 91. and all of his mates laughed at him. I remember when you said that. I do. I remember you being one of the highest predictions we had seen. And I would say I didn't chuckle at it, but I was like, because Eric, of course, was the highest of our hosts at 88. I was at 77 or 78, and Willie was at like 74, 75. I was like, well, 91, I mean, that's not going to happen. But, you know, didn't laugh at it. But, yeah, even you were short by 16. I mean, like, what are you going to do about it, right? I remember a couple of fan predictions after they won the 12 and the 14 World Series. We got in the hundreds. We got like 102 and 103, and we were laughing.
We got like a 112. I think we did.
Yeah, that was when fans were like way over the top. But, you know, that's kind of where you were at 91, just comparatively to where we thought the Giants would be. But kudos, man. Maybe your fandom or your insight helped you on that one. And then, of course, Gabe Kapler just announced 2 days ago, not unexpected, once again, National League Manager of the Year received 28 first place votes. The other two went to Council and Schilt. So, I mean, I was actually almost surprised it wasn't unanimous, but that's fine. He got 28
out of 30. That one guy left him off the ballot completely. Like, how? I mean, do you not know about the Giants in Cincinnati? What's up, buddy?
Yeah, I read that, but I didn't. Has he come out and said anything? Or like, I know they don't have to, but
no, not that I saw.
It's not a big deal at all.
Nah, it's just hilarious. One of those
weird things. Yeah, it's like, really?
He didn't have bad choices either. I think he went Schilt, Council. Hell, I don't know who the other one was.
Did he put like Snicker in there?
Probably Snicker. Yeah, absolutely. You know, because the Braves got hot at the right time. I mean, they were not in the lead in the division, you know, wire to wire by any stretch.
No. It's just an odd one. Yeah, it's almost like they had like a vendetta against the Giants or Kapler for some personal reason. I don't know. It's just kind of odd, but whatever. That's fine. He basically won in a landslide. So that's all good. Bruce Bochy, of course, announced it. That was kind of a obvious cue. Like, okay, Kapler's winning this, you know?
Yeah, but it was also weird because Bochy never won one. That's why it's weird.
That is true.
Never won one with the Giants. I think he won one with the Padres in 96, I assume, or maybe 98.
Yeah, he won one in the 90s. I think it was 98 when they went to the World Series. But they vote for this, of course, before the playoffs start. So the playoffs have no bearing on it. But Bruce Bochy, it's funny how he's in three World Series with the Giants, but he never won an NL Manager of the Year. Dusty Baker, ironically, won three National League Managers of the Year with the Giants, but never won a World Series.
That's got to be something like 93, 97, and 02, probably.
I believe you're right. I believe those years.
We're talking about awards, and I just want to pitch this idea. I don't know. Call me crazy, but hearing award winners announced in the middle of November, because the MVP award is going to be announced tonight, and I'm sure Crawford will come in fifth, fourth, sixth, somewhere like that. You know, it's just going to get overlooked for Harper or somebody. But wouldn't it be nice to just like know these things during the postseason instead of in the middle of November when everybody's moved on to basketball, hockey, football, school activities, life, you know, like baseball kind of drags it out by bringing out the awards at this time. I think it would be cool if we could know them during the playoffs, because then we could know that, like, say, the Cy Young winner is facing off against the MVP. You know, or vice versa, things like that. I think that would be a cool little twist. I mean, football has their awards show the night before the Super Bowl. So, like, if somebody wins MVP, they're suddenly the MVP playing in the Super Bowl the next day. NHL does an honors banquet, but I think that's after the season. So, I mean, there's absolutely precedent for it. So I think they should announce the awards between the LCSs and the World Series instead of like dragging it out like they do. I think it's too stodgy and too stuck up on tradition to do it this way anymore.
Yeah, no, it's not a half bad point. It doesn't take into account a lot of extra, you know, curriculars, I guess you could say, and certainly hurt Bruce Bochy, I guess, in that regard. You know, at the same token, it's 162 games, you know, as opposed to whatever you can run through in the, you know, 11 wins, 12 wins in the playoffs to get to the World Series or to win the World Series. But yeah, congratulations to Gabe Kapler. I'm telling you right now, I mean, you and I were not the biggest Kapler supporters when they announced his hiring. I mean, we weren't angry about it, but we were just like, I don't think this is the right fit. He's got too much baggage. That was the big thing. Baggage, baggage, baggage. He doesn't know how to handle a bullpen. That was proven in Philadelphia. But we're like, we're going to give him the benefit of the doubt because maybe he can learn. And boy, did he learn. He really did. He's absolutely blown me away in how he's adapted and conditioned himself, hired the right coaching crew. You know, all these guys and a woman who most of them, in fact, almost all of them, I think, never played Major League Baseball. You know, a lot of minor league ball and some without minor league ball talent. And I know that Mike Kruko the other day was talking about this. No, it was actually Duane Kuiper. And he was saying, look, you know, this was unheard. This is unheard of just even 20 years ago, let alone 10 years ago. You wouldn't be taken seriously if you were put on a coaching staff and you never put on a big league uniform, period. That's just the way it was. If you didn't play in the show, you can't teach me how to hit. You can't teach me how to pitch. You can't teach me anything because you don't know what you're talking about. But clearly, just because you don't have the talent to make the show doesn't mean you don't have the knowledge to apply. Right. And that's what they've proven. And some few other teams have done this too, but certainly the Giants with this massive young coaching staff that have the analytics and the mechanics and the video breakdowns and all of these little bits of minutiae and pieces and parts they've put together. And even Crawford has been impressed and other players have been impressed going, yeah, they helped me. They helped me. Yep. You know, we're talking about the strikeout rates for these pitchers, laying off their secondary, tertiary, or fourth pitches. Just throw the strikes of the pitch you know how to throw strikes with, like the one that has the greatest strike swing through rate, right? Don't pitch your curveball that gets hit at this rate. You know, guys are hitting 300 off of it. Don't pitch it. Just throw your sinker or whatever. And so it's that kind of mentality in coaching that has really helped bring the best out of each player. You don't always have to have all the tools in the bag. Maybe you just concentrate on a couple. But the point is Kapler has definitely learned. He had hiccups with the bullpen. Then he settled down, and guess what? The Giants led the National League in bullpen ERA at 2.99. So that's a credit to him and everything. He's well-deserved of it. And with Zaidi and Kapler and the coaching staff, I think Giants fans are in good hands for the next, you know, 2 to 3 seasons.
Well, I mean, everything you described is coaching in the information age. Is players are now willing to take these pointers from these guys who were only minor leaguers because they know that these guys have studied the tape, studied the reasons, studied the whys. Mm-hmm. Whereas 40 years ago, you needed to have gone through the motions to prove yourself to a player. But now, knowing that anybody has access to all this information at their fingertips at all times, I really think plays a part in it. It's just the fact that we're in this kind of age. And Gabe's just the perfect guy to kind of manage those things. And you're right. I was not angry. I still remember where I was when I heard the news that he was hired. And I wasn't too thrilled about it whatsoever. And I'm happy to be proven wrong. I mean, he got a 2-year extension. We didn't mention that. He had a 2-year extension about a week or two before the manager of the year got announced. So, you know, he is the guy that they want running things. So I'm guessing we'll just continue to see the same kind of thing. Maybe not 107 wins, but, you know, hopefully.
I hope Giants fans understand, and the ones who are at least reasonably intelligent understand 107 wins is not a common occurrence in any team in the major leagues. So the chances of the Giants reaching 107 wins next year, I think, are about 1%. I mean, it's just to try and replicate that magical season, I just don't think it's going to happen. Now, a lot depends on, you know, the pitching they acquire, and we'll get this into our second half of the show, but they have one starter right now. So that's a big question mark right there, right? They lost their all-star catcher, their legendary catcher. I mean, they have a lot of holes to fill. So that's why I don't think anyone could talk about how many wins they think they're going to get next year. That's way too premature because we have no idea what the Giants are going to look like next year. I mean, if they fill the holes with adequate parts or comparable parts, then I don't think there's any reason to think this team can't win 95. You know, I think it's possible. But 107, no matter who they get, guys, I think it's just ridiculous. That's just not going to happen again. And if it did, I'm not going to say I'm going to shave my head because that's a year from now, but I will eat humble pie. That's for damn sure. I just don't think that's possible. But I do think the East Coast bias is still so ridiculous, and I don't have the numbers, the all the people who voted for MLB.com right now, but they did a postseason ranking, power ranking, and they were very clear about this. This is not their power ranking of going into the 2022 season. This is literally the power ranking with the rosters they had at the end of the year. Like, this is how we rank the teams based on the regular and postseason together, not counting roster moves and free agents and people retiring going into the 2022 season. They put the Giants eighth.
That's funny. Because the same MLB.com did a top 10 teams that will impact the offseason, and the Giants are number two on the list.
I just don't understand that. I was trying to, like, this is like 10 writers or something on MLB.com.
But you mentioned the holes. Yeah, but you mentioned the holes. Everybody's worried about all the holes, and can the Giants fill them? But, you know.
Oh, no. But that's what I'm saying. This was not a ranking, like, going into the 2022 season. I have no problem with them being eighth because of those holes. They were very clear. This is what they ranked. Like, this is their final season ranking of what they thought the best teams were. This is not going forward.
That's bad.
That's the problem. That's the problem that they had the Yankees above them. They had, like, the Blue Jays were, like, right behind them. The Cardinals were right behind them. I think the Padres were 11th. Like, it was just ridiculous to read this list. And I'm like, and this is an average list. But again, I don't want to go off. I don't want to waste everyone's time. That's power rankings. They literally mean nothing. It's just another reflection on how they win 107 games, play the Dodgers to the last at bat, the last out. And they're like, yeah, I think they were eighth best in the major leagues this year. You're like, well, because they put Atlanta number one.
Tied for eighth, technically, didn't they?
They won the World
Series. Four-way tie for eighth place, you know what I mean? Because they're one of the four teams that lost.
Yankees lost the wild card to the Red Sox. And they ran the Yankees above the Giants and even the Red Sox, which was just, like, hilarious. Even Red Sox fans were like, what the hell?
Like, it's just funny it lines up like that to me. That's hilarious.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and take a break for our sponsor right now. Support for TorchCast is brought to you by Manscaped. Who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming champions of the world? Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped just launched their fourth-generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for all y'all listening. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code TORTUREcast at manscaped.com. And so here is the Lawnmower 4.0. It's pretty cool. You can hear it there. It's got a little light. I have used this, and it's something I never thought I'd use in my life, but we've had this opportunity, and it's definitely changed my perspective. It's a pretty amazing tool, very precision, very precise. And, of course, you have attachments for different lengths. You don't always have to go au naturel and super bare, I guess you could say, right? You could just trim the forest, if you will. Comes with a nice base charger, USB-C connection. It's really, really nice. It's not going to cut your skin. It's really precision engineered. And again, it's got that magnet base, so it's wireless charging. You just put it in your base and take it out, just like a Sonicare or something like that. So I don't know. It's been pretty amazing. I've been using it now. I don't know about you, Eric, but 20% off is pretty good. How's your experience been?
Well, like you, it's just one of those things I never thought would be a part of my regular routine in life, but it's kind of, since we've gotten our hands on these things, become a regular part of the routine. So, you know, there's a little more grooming going on. So I guess I'm taking better care of myself because of Manscaped. So, you know, I definitely see the positives from it, because I don't want to say I feel better about myself, but when you take care of yourself, you do feel better about yourself. It's just one of those things. Treat yourself is the bottom line.
Treat yourself. Yeah. So, and they got a lot of other stuff too. They got, they're funny names, but you know, the Crop Preserver, the Crop Reviver, the Ball Toner, the Ball Deodorant. I love those names. So my wife definitely laughs at those, but anyway, check it out. 20% off and free shipping with the code TORTUREcast at manscaped.com. Go ahead, treat yourself, and you're supporting us at the same time. So go ahead and do that. We'd appreciate that. All right. Look, the Giants have a lot of work to do this offseason, and so we have a little bit of time left to talk about it. But the Giants exercised the club options on Wilmer Flores, $3.5 million, Jose Alvarez, $1.5 million, and then a surprise, Jay Jackson. Apparently that was not common knowledge, but they exercised his option, which I could not find a contract value, but it's probably going to be at the league minimum or something at that point. But they picked up those three valuable tools to the Giants. Obviously, Jose Alvarez was great this year. Jay Jackson had his ups and downs. He's a little inconsistent, but he had flashes of brilliance. He'd go out and just strike out the side. And, of course, Flores was very instrumental to the Giants' success this year. He's a wonderful utility guy and regular fill-in as well. The Giants did have to say goodbye to Johnny Cueto. His $22 million option was predictably declined. They bought him out for $5 million. Johnny Cueto is going to take that extra $5 million and go do some more Instagram lives and not care about it. He's, I'm sure, perfectly happy. But at age 37, I think he is now, you know, he definitely has value. I think he can find a spot somewhere in the major leagues. We'll just see what happens with him. But we wish him all the success. I think it's one of those contracts that, you know, was promising when they signed him 6 years ago. God, can you believe it's 6 years ago? Wow. He's with the Giants for 6 years.
He was what a part of that Giants Cubs series. That's just weird.
It is. And he was the guy that, you know, he lost that game 1-0. But assuming, you know, it was supposed to go back to Chicago. Obviously, we had a bad game 4. But he was going to be the starter for game 5 in Wrigley. And man, I know the Cubs fans were sweating bullets and Giants fans were full of confidence. In that ninth inning with a 3-run lead, all I was thinking was Johnny Cueto's going to the Windy City and we're going to win this thing. And, well, we all know what happened.
That was five years ago. I mean, it's just crazy that much time has passed that Johnny was a part of some of the winning and then went through all the losing to be a part of the winning this year. You don't think of him as a long-term Giant. Like, to me, he's still kind of new to the team.
Yeah.
And 5 years.
It does feel like that.
How the hell did that happen?
And that was a great year too. He finished, it was fourth or sixth in the Cy Young voting opposite of
Madison the All-Star Bumgarner. Game. Yeah.
Yeah. No, he had a fantastic year. He was definitely Johnny Cueto that we wanted. Obviously the last several years, just wasn't that guy. A lot of injuries, a lot of inconsistencies, but it was fun to watch and he'd still have special starts here and there. You know, he'd bring his shimmy and, you know, pitch a one run, you know, 7-game masterpiece and then give up 5 runs the next start. So we wish him well, wherever he goes. Hopefully he gets picked up somewhere. If not, I will continue to follow him on Instagram because that's a hell of a lot of fun. And by the way, I neglected to mention that Kevin Gausman did finish 6th in Cy Young voting. Of course, Corbin Burnes won it yesterday. Well-deserved. He only had 157 or 158 innings pitched, so that's a little bit of a knock on him, but that's not his fault. That's the way the manager and the pitching staff are going to use him. His whip was under 1, and anytime you could do that as a starter over a full season, kudos to you, man. That's pretty incredible. So Kevin Gausman might have been the Cy Young Award winner in the first half, but you know, obviously we know his struggles in the second half. Still had a great time or, you know, great season. And it's been good to kind of see him tweet a couple. There's this one rando guy that said he had inside information that he was going to sign with Anaheim. And he responded to that. And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. The only thing I have down there is like, you know, a pair of shades or something from L.A. He also was spotted Brandon Crawford's wife, of course, always active on Instagram, posted a photo of herself, Brandon Crawford, Kevin Gausman, Logan Webb, Tyler Rogers, a couple of their wives, and one other guy, all at Top Golf yesterday. Ironically, I was at Top Golf, but they were at obviously a different Top Golf. And all of them were standing there. And I'm like, that's good to see. You know what I mean? Like, you're seeing like Kevin Gausman still hanging out with his teammates. So that, you know, those guys are talking about it. I mean, they're buddies. They're going to be chatting in private about coming back, and you know, Crawford re-signed, Logan's there, you know, Tyler's gonna be there, and you just wonder. I would love to hear those conversations,
man. So much crap. He's gonna get so much crap from those guys because he's not signed yet. You know what I mean? They're gonna be like, oh, but we can't talk to you about that because you're not really a Giant anymore.
You're not really, you know? A Giant. You're a friend, but you can't hear this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, they could totally pull that kind of crap. That's so funny because Crawford has that way, though, of pulling people in. And I've often wondered if the Brandon Belt decision was partly based on Brandon Crawford and their friendship and his love for playing for this team with his buddy. Like, I don't know how close they really are. And I know money is an important factor in everything, but I mean, comfort is really an important factor. What's the difference between 16 million and 18 million?
I could tell you, no.
You're comfortable on both, but you know what I mean? It's like, so, you know, the Giants have that sort of familial attitude and bringing people into the fold. So, Gausman, the Giants probably do have an upper hand on re-signing him if they want to. I mean, Chris Bryant, of the guys that elected free agency, Chris Bryant, Tony Watson, Kevin Gausman, Anthony DeSclafani, and Alex Wood. And had you told us at the beginning of last offseason that Anthony DeSclafani and Alex Wood would be pitchers for the Giants, we'd be like, what are you talking about?
Exactly.
If you told us Chris Bryant was a Giant, we'd be like, what? Tony Watson? How'd that happen again? So, you know, they all contributed in their own way, which is why when we talk about the holes in the lineup, we kind of figure that the Giants will sign another DeSclafani, another Wood, and hopefully maybe some better guys, Scherzer, somebody like that, you know, Marcus Stroman, somebody like that. So, you know, but those guys are all free agents now. Bryant, Watson, Gausman, DeSclafani, and Wood. So if the Giants want to resign them, they got to compete with everybody.
I'm going to bring up, just because I thought it was cool, pop it in here. All right. So I'm showing Jalen Crawford's Instagram post, and there's a picture there of Logan Webb, Kevin Gausman, Brandon Crawford herself, a couple of the other women, wives, girlfriends, whatever, and Tyler Rogers, all there at Top Golf, hanging out. So,
what do you think Tyler Rogers' golf swing looks like? I mean, the way he guy throws a baseball, it's got to be interesting.
Yeah, it's got to be interesting, right? Anyway, I thought that was cool. Gausman, he's got his arm wrapped around Logan Webb there, a little smug, you know, smile there. He's looking pretty yeah. Chill. So anyway, good signs.
They definitely bonded this year, those two.
They did. So it's really, really cool to see. But man, they got four starters to fill what to do. But, you know, obviously Verlander, I mean, I never took it seriously or anything like that. He resigned. Scherzer, I know everybody's pointing to, like, oh, did you see Larry Bear go out and shake hands with him? Like, well, yeah, he's just shaking hands with them. That doesn't mean anything. You know, whatever. But I don't know. What would you think about Max Scherzer and the Giants? I mean, you know, he's not a Dodger. He's with the Dodgers for a few months.
I would love Scherzer on the Giants. Honestly, I really would. He's the kind of veteran presence you need in a clubhouse like this that just had a void created by Buster Posey leaving. If you can have a veteran free agent pitcher that has, I believe he's won a Cy Young and what came in second, third, whatever it was this year, in the voting, somebody who's won championships come in to buy into everything the Giants are selling, I think it just even adds to it. And so at whatever cost it is, it's probably worth it. You know, even if there's a slight decline with Max Scherzer, the fact that he might bring other talent with him by attracting them, by being there, I think is a very important factor. So I want Scherzer, and I definitely think he would be a good fit with the Giants. I think the Giants fan base would like him. He's just crazy enough to be perfect in San Francisco. You know, he's been beloved everywhere he goes anyways, but, you know, he definitely does have that engaging personality with fans, and we eat that up in San Francisco. Every fan base does. So I think he'd be really good for the clubhouse. And they need they need leadership at the top, just in general. They need guys that have been there and done that. And, you know, Crawford and Belt are there, but they're going to need to surround them with other guys that have done it.
I mean, I think it would be fantastic. They do have plenty of room. This is one of the biggest offseason budgets that the Giants have had and will have for some time. So, you know, if the fit is right and the analytics show it and they think it's, you know, a right personality fit, man, they got to go big on a couple of these. And so, for those of you watching, or those who want to watch it later, I did put up on the screen. Actually, I thought it was a great kind of boilerplate reference to look at today. But the fellas, the administrators, the admins from the Giants Chatter Facebook group, had a little powwow on their free agent predictions. And so we had eight of the admins, including Eric, put in their opinion on where they thought a series of free agents are going to sign. So we got Carlos Correa, Corey Seager, Freddie Freeman, Chris Bryant, Kevin Gausman, Marcus Semien, Robbie Ray, Trevor Story, Max Scherzer, Nick Castellanos, Marcus Strom, Javier Baez, Starling Marte, Eduardo Rodriguez, who already did sign with Detroit, and then Kyle Schwarber. So we could just lead off with Max Scherzer, and five out of the eight of you actually predicted the Giants, including yourself, two with the Dodgers and one with the Angels. So what was the feeling? I mean, did you guys have a discussion about this, or is it just voting? Like, how did you guys do this?
No, we submitted blindly to all credit to Steven Risotto for putting together the graphic. And we submitted our 1 through 15. These are the 1 through 15 list on MLB trade rumors. So Correa was ranked as the number one free agent. So surprisingly, Gosman's ranked as the number five free agent. Really surprised the crap out of me. Schwarber 15th, really? Still, anyway. So we submitted our picks for which teams they would sign with. And most of us submitted it right around the time Rodriguez signed with the Tigers. So like I totally cheated there. And I'm sure a couple other people did too. No shame in my game. We've talked off and on about the pitchers, but we've tried to actually stay away from it because we're writing a daily series about which free agent pitcher we want. And somebody's going to write about Max Scherzer, me, next week. And it's kind of funny because I really do want Max Scherzer. So, I mean, we've talked about it, the veteran leadership type stuff, you know, and some of these names on the list that get bandied about, you know, Stroman, I think would be a good fit again. Pitching is what the Giants need to focus on. They have absolutely shown that they can put together hitting. So that's why I threw Stroman in there as well, because if the Giants want to spend money, they can throw it at pitching. They absolutely can. They don't have to go bonkers with long-term deals, but they can definitely throw the money at pitching.
Yeah, and I know Farhan wants to stay away from those 4 or 5 year deals. That's just not his cup of tea. So if that's what some of these pitchers are going to demand, then the Giants are going to move on from them. They just are. They've been bitten the ass too many times about it. And Farhan has the math and the equations to put together a team piecemeal, even if you guys are only going to be on the team for 1 to 3 years. That's just right. He knows how to do it. He knows how to find those diamonds in the rough. So he has no qualms about going, Boris comes to him and says, my client needs 5 or 6 years and that's it. He'll be like, okay, bye. We're just not going to talk to you. And they'll get a sucker team like the Angels or someone to like go, okay, here you go. And then in 3 years they suck because of an injury or something. So I'm actually glad the Giants are going to stay away from that because, you know, they've been bit by that too, obviously with like the Barry Zito contract and to a lesser extent, Johnny Cueto, not as much. I'm not saying it's a bad contract, but you know, the back end of these deals are always where you get screwed. It is what it is. But
Farhan, though, he has shown his track record. And I want Giants fans to remember this going into the offseason. Farhan's track record is to give out money to a couple of top tier guys if they're available or if they're worth it. And then fill in all the parts around. All those Dodgers, you know, oh my God, what great depth they built under Farhan. And look at this team. Most of those guys were making near the league minimum, you know, maybe $1 million or $2 million or $3 million a year. Like Wilmer Flores, $3.5 million for a guy who tied for the team lead in games played this year. I mean, that's a bargain. It's an absolute bargain. You know, you expect somebody you're paying $20 million to lead the team in games played, not some guy that you're paying $3.5 million for who's a utility guy. And that's just very much how Farhan builds his team and goes about his construction. So, you know, the thought of them going after a Scherzer, a Stroman, you know, a Corey Seager just as a random, I mean, they wouldn't have anywhere for him anymore, but Castellanos as another one, like it's not unheard of for Farhan to spend money. He absolutely would spend it if the timing's right. And this isn't a reflection of the Bryce Harper from a couple of years ago. That was all management. I mean, all ownership.
Yeah. It's interesting. Carlos Correa, obviously, I never expected any traction with the Giants. Neither did you guys. You all think Detroit, Yankees, or Houston. Corey Seager, again, no reason. Shortstop, yeah, he could play another position. Not Giants interested. Freddie Freeman, I'm totally on the same page. All eight of you thought Atlanta. He just won the World Series. He only knows Atlanta. Atlanta is going to throw everything. He's their guy. Like, that's. I can't imagine him not signing with Atlanta.
It's like letting Buster Posey walk. You can't do
it. Yeah. No, that's going to happen. Chris Bryant, of course, definitely an interesting one. We're not going to break down all the stats here, but I think one of the things that I can say about it, and he was great in the five games of the playoffs. He hit over 400, obviously small sample size. But during his tenure with the Giants, I mean, he was like, he was fine. He was okay. Yeah. And he was okay with Chicago, before that. He started out the year great. Don't get me wrong. He was like all-star all the way. Last year, you know, he struggled mightily. He's shown some inconsistencies and in that issue. I'm afraid. I want him, but I'm afraid of giving him a ridiculous amount of money and he ends up being just like an above-average player. You know, it's that bang for your buck kind of thing. And Farhan definitely knows more than us. And he's probably run all of the algorithms saying, well, I can get Chris Bryant maybe for $22 million a year, or whatever it may be. Or I can get these three guys for $5 million and they'll have almost as much production. Therefore, the dollar, you know, the war per dollar, if you will be higher with that. And that's what we need, because that will give us resources for other positions like pitching or whatever. So it's one of those interesting things. If he tore the cover off the ball and was an all-star with the Giants, I think you'd be higher on Farhan's list. But I think with those inconsistencies and the way he played the remainder of the year and his defensive liabilities, I don't know, man. Like, I'd like to see him on the Giants. I really, really would. I think he's a great fit in a lot of ways, but not for 20-something million.
I have to agree in the sense that I that was totally a homer pick for me. I want KB back. I'm one.
No, I want him. I do. It's not my money.
It'd be fun, right? That's the thing. But what he really showed himself to be was kind of replaceable. It sucks to say it, but. He didn't do any one particular thing well. You know, he did all around. He got on base a ton. Sorry, he got on base. That's what he did well. He got on base a ton. But the Giants are full of a system of guys that are getting on base a ton now. And the guys they target in free agency are guys that are getting on base more. And, you know, they look at walk rates and things like that. So Bryant did seem kind of replaceable. So I totally can see Farhan taking that kind of money and allocating it somewhere else if he needs to be. KB's not the guy you break the bank for. I mean, if you're going to sign him, you sign him to 2-3 years, and he's probably looking for 4 or 5 years, and the Giants are probably not going to provide that stability.
Yeah, I am very much in the line of re-signing him. Just be smart about it. Just be smart about it. If there's no, I mean, he's represented by Boris, so I don't think he's signing with the Giants for 2 years. I don't think that's happening. I think they're definitely going for that long multi-year contract, and that's where I think Farhan's going to go, thanks, but no thanks. We're not going to do that. I think there's too many possibilities of, if it's a five-year contract or more, that he's going to have two or three of those years be just crap, like absolute crap. So I'm worried about that, but we'll move on. Kevin Gausman, 3 of the 8 of you thought the Giants, 2 thought Seattle, and then rounding up with Anaheim, Toronto, and St. Louis. Yeah, you know, you predicted Seattle here, it looks like. You know, I think there's a really good shot at them getting Gausman, especially, you know, given the fact they're still hanging out with the boys and everything like that. Again, that's no guarantee. That's not reading the tea leaves too much.
That was new information. I mean, you know,
true. That's true. Yeah. I thought that was fun, but I think, you know, again, he's going to look for that multi-year contract again. And then the Giants are going to pull the trigger on one of these. They have to. I don't think they could say no to every single multi-year contract that they know they're going to have to pay if they want to keep or get one of these guys. Right. I think they're going to have to bite the bullet on one of them. If this whole list, they want multi-year contracts. If they say no to all of these guys, well, you're never going to get one of these big fish. I think that's the problem.
So who on this list?
You just got to pick the right one. I mean, Farhan's got to know, his math has got to say, okay, out of all these guys, which is the one I think has the best chance of performing over that long contract? And I think that's what he's going to
That's what I was going to ask you. Okay. You know, you know, not necessarily going through all the rest of the list, you can see, you know, there's a few of us that think Marcus Stroman would be a good fit with the Giants. Mm-hmm. Nobody picked Castellanos, and there he is. Apparently, rumors today are out there that the Giants are interested in Castellanos. Starling Marte is another one that doesn't seem like a lot of us picked as a possibility. Like, who do you sign to get the best bang for your buck out of these guys?
It is so hard.
Stroman, maybe? But he's a pitcher. It's tough to give pitchers long-term deals.
I was about to say, pitchers are they're the hard ones. They're such a wild card with their arm injury history. Getting someone, a pitcher, for 5 or 6 years has bitten the Giants and many other teams so many times. It just, more times than not, it ends up being a bad contract. And I'm really afraid of it. So, you know, maybe they do put it into a Castellanos or something like that. But obviously they don't need anyone. They're not going to go for a Kyle Schwarber DH or a Javier Baez because of his baggage and his inconsistencies, right? Trevor Story's old and a shortstop. No, they're not going to go for him. So it does really leave a lot of the pitchers as the main focus. They got They got four rotation spots to fill. And they got to go with it. So, I mean, at this point, with Scherzer's age, I don't know if they're going to be demanding a 5-year contract to push him into age 42, which would be stupid. Yeah. Like, come on. So if Scherzer agrees to a 2 or 3 year, I'd say go for it. If he wants 5 and that's it, nope. I'm sorry. That's too old. I'd have to say, yeah, Stroman or Gosman would probably be my top two. Yeah. But it's tough. It's tough. It's a lot of unknowns. So
that's the problem with all of this, and that's why the caveat gets put out there. And I'll say it all the time: we really have no idea what we're talking about when it comes to any of this. These guys all have different reasons for wanting to play in different places that we even know about.
Yeah, and no clue,
so,
right?
Some of the stuff that factors into it, we're not even privy to. So we're just speculating like everybody else when we're throwing out our predictions like this.
Oh, this is just our own, juvenile, uninformed.
Well, this is what you do. This ideas. Is hot stove baseball. We talk about this kind of stuff. We've been doing it since we were kids, you know?
Yeah, no, it's cool. And of course, Robbie Ray's listed here. He won the AL Cy Young yesterday. 6 out of the 8 of you thought he'll stay in Toronto. 2 thought Anaheim. Here's a guy who played for Arizona and his ERA was over 6.
Yeah, I felt like the Giants beat the crap out of him all the time, and now he's winning Cy Youngs. How the
heck did that happen? And in the American League, too, which is a little tougher, right? So, I don't know, man. That was a weird one. So, I would be afraid. Obviously, no one thought the Giants. I mean, that's. I don't think it's even on their radar. But a guy who comes out of nowhere to win the Cy Young, great for him. Kudos to him. But you need to be careful of that, right? It could be the flash in the pan syndrome. And you know, one good year is going to give him a payday, and good for him. Good for him. But Farhan is too smart for that. And yeah, he could turn around and be a great pitcher for 5 years. We don't know that, but the data suggests that probably wouldn't happen. It's very odd for a pitcher who's been around for a while to suddenly turn around and then keep that consistent, right?
So. Well, the Giants aren't the team that's going to go after the breakout pitcher. The Giants are the team that the breakout pitcher plays on.
Exactly. This is like, a Tesla or Apple or some stock hitting a peak and going, oh, I need to buy it now. And then you're like, oops, and never mind. I bought it when it was too high.
They don't do that. The Giants don't buy high on that, those kind of players.
No, they do not buy high. So I think they're going to be smart. So anyway, that's kind of a good little rundown, little Cliff Notes version of the free agent list going this year. So that'll be fun. Our playoff predictions obviously were way off. No one predicted Atlanta to even get out of the DS. So the three of us struck out on that. And the only one that got Houston in the World Series was Willie. But that was the only one he got right. He picked the Yankees and Cardinals. They both lost. He picked the Giants in Milwaukee to be in the CS. That didn't happen. And then Tampa Bay to be in the CS. That didn't happen. I did get Boston and LA right in the wild card and Houston to the ALCS. But I had San Francisco, Milwaukee, Tampa Bay and Houston, and then Tampa Bay and San Francisco.
Yeah.
You only got one right. You got the Dodgers winning the wild card. That's it. Everything else you got wrong. So, It just goes to show you, man. We're just guessing. We're just guessing here.
It's too hard. I was Chris Taylor swing of the bat away from being wrong completely the entire way. Yes, well, I mean, maybe
I would have gone extra innings. Yeah.
I was about to say, I take that back because the Giants probably would have beaten the Cardinals in a series. You know, not that's funny.
That's true. Yeah. You still would have had that possibility. You know, butterfly.
There are years. Right. There's years we cruise through those and we're just like, you know, oh, it's these two teams and then they end up playing each other. I mean, nobody picked the Nats, though, I don't think 2 years ago. So
No. What are you going to do? You know, it's just like no one picked the Braves at 88. You know, people didn't pick the Giants at 88 in the wild card either. Right. So it's fun. That's baseball. This is what we do. And so it'll be interesting with the CBA. If they can even get there, there's a lot of problems with that. They're already whispering, and it could be just posturing by the league about suggesting that contracts are based on war. And I think that was just a shot across the bow. I think that was like come on. They know that is never going to happen. So why even say it? I mean, you just revealed like you're going to be that hell bent. On your negotiations, is that where you're gonna, you know, choose to stick your flag? I don't know, man. That's insane. The union would never go for something even close to that, ever in a million years. It's always been based on past performance. That's just the way it is, right?
Free market too. You know, regardless of how you feel about it, it's capitalism, and you can't take the players' rights away to cash in on their opportunities.
Yeah. So that's never going to fly. And so if that's where the league is going to be standing, or at least close to that, oh my God, dude, we got this doesn't look good. But assuming they can actually get things ironed out in the next month or two, we're looking at expanded playoffs as a likely possibility. We're looking at the DH in the National League, which I know you like, I hate. Those are kind of the main, the runner on second probably would be eliminated. That was a COVID thing.
I don't know, man. I'll
stick around. That's one of the less likely or less sure things, I should say. Well, right?
I mean, I don't hate it anymore. So like, I don't care because if it sticks around. Does that make sense?
Because it doesn't happen in the playoffs.
Right. That's why I don't hate it. You know, it's like we've said here before, it's like overtime hockey. You know, I get it. Get the game over with. I totally get it. Force the action.
Yeah. So no, I mean, I understand it on certain levels. I still don't want to see it, but I still like an extra inning game. I know the players don't, but I like it. I don't like the game just being like, oh, so the home team knew that the visiting team didn't score, so they bunted the guy over to third and got a sack fly to win. Whatever. Like, that's dumb. They didn't even get a hit. They sacrificed and got a fly ball and they won. Yay. Yeah. But you know, I know overall 90% of the time it's not going to affect the overall standings. And I guess that's the point, right? It's like, well, if it's not going to dramatically affect the standings, but it's going to shorten games, then why not do it? It's better for some of the fans, half the fan. I don't know. And then definitely some of the players and the umpires for sure are going to be like, shorter games. Hell yeah. Sign me up.
Yeah. So, oh my God. No umpire will ever argue with a shorter game. I mean, I love baseball, but I am telling you from the moment the game starts, they're thinking about how they can get this game over with.
They got their late dinner reservation at the local steakhouse, man. They got to make that, get their bottle of wine. They, you know, they don't have to recover. They just drink.
Yep. Pretty much.
I'm painting a bad picture for the larger unhealthy umpire.
Right. It's not 1977 anymore. You're right. No. It's 2021.
No. It's not like Eric Gregg and company, you know, but Joe West is now retired. So that's a good thing too. All right. Well, I think that'll do it for episode 244 of the TorchaCast. You can like us on Facebook. Find us there. This is, of course, where we're broadcasting live every week or so. You can follow us on Twitter at TorchCast there. Like us individually or follow us individually. Two out hits for Eric. That's with the number 2. At Willie Dills for the absent Willie Gregory. And then at Chad K21 for myself. I think that's where we're active right now. Again, we've hit the hot stove off season. It's where we record without regularity. It is when news happens, and it is when our schedules align, which sometimes can be a challenge. But we want to thank you for sticking with us. I finally put together some Patreon stuff, so look forward to that this week. We definitely would love some support as we try to expand our podcast, expand some of the podcasting platform technology and ability to get the information out there. That'd be a great help from you guys. And then Eric, you obviously have Giants Chatter. You want to talk about that or anything else?
No, that's about it. Giants Chatter on Facebook. It's a good, fun place to come speculate when you're not listening to TortureCast.
That's right. So I know this is traditionally when people lose a little bit of interest in baseball and specifically the Giants or their whatever their favorite team is. But we'll be there every, you know, couple
107 of weeks to talk wins, about it. Man.
I know. And so much is going to happen this offseason, assuming the CBA, you know, gets ironed out. I mean, it's hard to use the word pivotal because of the 107 wins. But I think it's pivotal for where the Giants are heading the next 3+ years. Because these contracts and these signings with the massive budget availability that they have is really going to shape what they're going to be able to do and their performance they're going to have in the next several seasons.
And you know what's weird about that? The Giants could have won 77 games this year and it would have been the exact same pivotal because of all of the money coming off the books and all the contracts being gone. I mean, Buster Posey's contract suddenly gone. You know, they have extra money even that they didn't realize they were going to have. Yep. And it's amazing that they are in this pivotal position after 107 wins. But I mean, you're absolutely right. This is the off season to set the course for the next few years.
It is. And I know they're probably not going to push it to Dodger salary. I get that. They're not going to go. They may not even go over the luxury tax threshold, but you know, Zaidi may pull back the reins a little bit and go, well, we'll sign one guy this year, maybe have a little left in the budget, targeting a free agent that they think is available next year or even the year after. That said, in Farhan, we trust. He's definitely proven his worth. So has Kapler. So is the coaching staff. And winning 107 games this year and now having extra money to go after to either re-sign some of the guys that were with the team last year or so be it new guys, I have full faith in their ability to patchwork together a team that's going to be in the playoff hunt. That plain and simple. Not win 107, but be in the playoff hunt for the next 3 years, team, which is really exciting.
Yep, that's where they're going to be. I mean, we have no reason to believe you're right that that's not the direction they're headed.
It's good stuff. All right, well, everyone, thanks for watching, listening, wherever you get your podcast, Apple, Spotify, Google. You name it. Follow us on TorchCast. We'll release when we're going to record next. Until then, have a great week. We'll see you later.
Abu. A big thank you to everybody for listening to the TorchCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TorchCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at TorchCast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying, we'll see you next time.